Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Paul Kuharski brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. We're talking all things Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Mike Herndon from PaulKuharski.com. Mike, good morning. How are we doing?
Doing great. How are y'all?
Doing really well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Mike, what's the number one thing that stood out to you in Titans preseason game number one as you were watching the game, watching the tape, and as we move ahead to joint practices this week?
I'd say as much as I enjoyed the Chance Campbell stuff, you know, I think my biggest takeaway really realistically from a guy that's really going to contribute was actually Tony Pollard. I thought Tony Pollard looked fantastic. He had great burst. Looked like 2022, I guess it would be, Tony Pollard with the Cowboys. He looks fully back, and I think his ability to contribute in the passing game, which, you know, they're going to toggle with Tajay Spears, but the overlapping skill sets there, with both those guys being able to turn checkdowns into 8-yard gains on first down, for example, I think it's a huge deal for this offense, and I was really excited to see how well he played, and I thought he ran physically too. I thought he was a bright spot to me.
What's your concern level at edge rusher? You know, even without the Key suspension, you can make the argument they were thin there. Now with Key and his suspension, how do you view that spot, and what do you make of potential options that could be available should Rand Carthon at some point here decide to pursue that?
Yeah, I think it's a dire situation at this point. I thought they needed an edge rusher before Key suspension because I don't view Key as a starter. And you know, look, it was a small sample size, but he was kind of invisible out there in the preseason game. He's okay. He's okay as a situational guy. I don't think you want him as an every down starter. So I thought that the situation was bad. I think it's much worse because I don't think Rashad Weaver is anything you want as a starter. And then, you know, you go down the list and you get to, you know, Jalen Harrell may be the next guy up at this point, and he was a 7th-round pick a few months ago. So I think it's a bad situation. I think they desperately need somebody. I think you kind of saw that in the preseason game. They got almost – and really, I can't remember an example of them getting pressure with 4 in that game. They had to blitz to get any pressure – on the San Francisco quarterback. So I think it's pretty desperate that they add somebody. And look, the options aren't that great. You're talking about like Carl Lawson, which, you know, would be my favorite of the options out there. Yannick Ngakoue is another guy. I kind of personally think Yannick Ngakoue is a bit of a dog myself, as far as not a dog in a good way, a dog in the Jadeveon Clowney 2020 way. I think he kind of chases sacks, and that's all he's really there for, and that's why he's been on 6 teams in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. So the options aren't great, but I do think some of those players are better than Rashad Weaver. So I do think it's worthwhile for them to add somebody, and you hope you can at least get something out of them, and hopefully that person can remain a piece of the rotation even when Key returns.
I retweeted your piece from yesterday with a lot of great clips from the game where you focused on the first team offense. Two of them are Nicholas Petit-Frere. I'm a backer of his. I see him as the starter on opening day. I don't see who's going to push him or knock him out of that spot. And I think last year was terrible, but I think sometimes guys have a year that's a wash. What did you see from him in this game, and what are you thinking about him as the starting right tackle?
I thought he was really good in this game, actually, and surprisingly so, because I kind of expected some growing pains with him coming back from the knee scope and obviously the offseason shoulder surgery and all that. I thought, you know, we're probably not going to see the very best Nicholas Petit-Frere out there on Saturday, but I thought he was really good. I thought, short of Skoronski, he was probably their best offensive lineman in that game. So impressive start, exciting start for him. And I've always kind of been with you as far as he has the physical ability. You saw it his rookie year Yes, there was inconsistency, of course. It drove me nuts how many times he got beat inside, on zone blocking plays to his side, where a defender would just jump inside his inside arm and beat him and blow up a play for a loss. It drove me insane. But that's something that can be taught and coached. And I think maybe now with a little bit better coaching, we can see a little bit better Nicholas Petit-Frere. I've always thought he had the talent, though. I think the guy was it's a long time ago, obviously, but the guy was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. He has physical ability. There's no question about that. And I thought he showed kind of what he can do in that preseason game, and you hope to see that continue, this week against Seattle.
Mike Herndon, who you can read at paulkuharski.com, our guest. What they ran almost entirely shotgun with Will Levis, and then that wasn't the case with Mason Rudolph and Malik Willis. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, and that's kind of one of my things I want to keep an eye on now this week with the Seattle game is, does that continue? Was that just them trying to get a look at a specific set of plays with the first team offense versus the second team and third team groups? Or is that a Will Levis comfort thing? Because we know from what Brian Callahan did with the Bengals, transitioning from Joe Burrow to Jake Browning, and what he's talked about extensively every time he's been asked about these things, is that he wants to tailor his game plan and the specific calls he's making to his quarterback's comfort level. So if Will Levis is more comfortable working out a shotgun, that could be the explanation. And I'm very interested to see if that trend continues. I don't think they're going to have the whole season where Will Levis never goes under center. But if he continues in that 80 to 85% shotgun range, that's a big change from last year. I think the Titans were right around 50-50 shotgun versus under center last season. So that's definitely a big shift, and it's interesting because it allows you to do different things. It allows you to keep your eyes downfield more, not turning your back to the defense, that kind of thing. So if that is something he's comfortable with, obviously I think it's a good thing if they're leaning into that.
Mike, Tavondre Sweat has made some loud plays during camp, not so much in the game on Saturday against San Francisco. What did you make of what you saw from Sweat? And as somebody who's watched a lot of Sweat play football, what do you make of what the opportunity is in front of him now with this defense alongside Jeffrey Simmons once we actually see the complete picture of that when week one rolls around?
Yeah, I thought Sweat was okay. The very first snap of the game when Kenneth Murray came on the blitz and got the hit on the quarterback and caused the incompletion, Sweat drew two blockers, was in the process of splitting them and actually drew the attention of the back. So he ended up drawing three blockers in that play, which opened up a huge lane for Kenneth Murray to just sprint through and tattoo the Niners quarterback there. So that was an impact play, even though he didn't do anything besides, be big and attract attention, which sometimes that's going to be what he needs to do. So then there were other plays too. He overran one in a zone run play where he could have made a play. He just kind of overran his gap. So I didn't think it was a perfect debut. It wasn't a loud debut by any means. And I think we'll see better from Tavondre Sweat in other games, as we go on with this thing. But going back to his college, experience, and it'll be interesting this week with Byron Murphy being here, the other Texas defensive tackle that they kind of tag teamed over the last couple years for Texas. Byron Murphy got the higher draft pick, but unequivocally, Tavondre Sweat was the higher impact defensive tackle at Texas. He won the Outland Trophy, obviously best interior lineman on either side of the ball in college football last year. He's not a statistic compiler, but he is an impact player, and you'll see his impact all over the place as he continues to go. And it was littered all over the Texas tape, which is ultimately why he was, viewed as the best defensive lineman in football. So I think what we'll see from him moving forward will be better than what we saw from him Saturday night. But I didn't think it was an all bad debut. It was just kind of uneven, which, you know, I kind of thought the same about J.C. Latham, too.
What do you think about Thomas Odokoya versus David Martin Robinson and Steven Stylianos getting into the weeds here? Because I don't think there's a fourth tight end on the roster. But if you've got a first call up there, who's your guy?
You know, it's tough because it kind of depends on what you want. You know, that Odokoya certainly as a blocker, I think does a really nice job. I mean, he was good in this game again in that phase and was good all preseason last year when he kind of started to draw some attention and buzz. So if you need a blocker, if you need a Y inline type guy, I think he's your guy. If you need somebody who can move and get downfield and make plays in the passing game, I think it's David Martin Robinson. And frankly, I thought David Martin Robinson did a nice job blocking as well in this game. So they're very different type of guys. What was interesting to me was Odokoya playing with the ones. And I'd be interested to know, I'm assuming he's placeholding there for Nick Vannett for those three snaps. But that at least drew my attention a little bit to say, you know, hey, maybe they are going to give this guy an actual look for the 53, but I'm with you. I don't think they keep four. As much 11 personnel as they're going to run, I don't think there's snaps for four guys, and that third guy is already going to be mostly a special teams contributor anyways. So I think they'll keep three, but to me, I think you probably maybe keep David Martin Robinson as your fourth if you're going to keep one of the two on the practice squad, simply because he gives you that Chig Okonkwo skill set. And it gives you that like-for-like replacement if something was to happen to Chig at some point during the season.
They checked down a ton with Levis. I asked Bo Hardigree this, and he kind of scoffed. But I worry that in a check-down mentality that they're installing, they take away a little edge from him in terms of the cut it loose. When you watched Levis specifically, did you see him turn down anything that maybe he should have taken?
The only play that I saw where he turned a throw down, and I couldn't quite tell just because the route combinations were kind of overlapping and it's hard to tell what he was actually looking at. The play near the goal line when he ended up taking off and running, you know, and taking that big hit, which you wish he wouldn't have done. I thought he turned down an open Treylon Burks on that play. Treylon Burks was open on a post running kind of along the back of the end zone. Now, I think Levis may have been looking for the mesh route underneath between Tajay Spears and Tyler Boyd on that play. So it's hard to tell exactly where his eyes were because the mesh was in front of Burks' route. But Burks was open, and it appears that maybe he turned that down to instead try to escape the pocket and then ultimately running. So that's really the only throw I thought he turned down that he should have made. He made the correct decision on the other checkdowns to Ridley and to Pollard. And frankly, I think that's important growth for him. You don't want to see him just gunning it in there all the time. You don't want to completely neuter him either. It's a fine kind of balance that they need to strike there. But it's certainly – I was excited to see his 2.8 average depth of target in this game as a big contrast to that 11.1 that he had last year, which was just not sustainable as a way to play offense.
Let's not be excited about 2.8. Let's get a little – let's find a happy medium there.
Maybe six? We get to six? How about that?
That'd be nice. That'd be better.
Mike Herndon, you can check out his work at paulkuharski.com. Mike, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
We'll react to what Mike had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.